VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And just to prove that we're live, it is the day before Easter. But then again, we could have recorded that on Wednesday claiming it was the day before Easter.
That's true. But we didn't.
But we didn't. And we can prove it to you. So unless you call, we'll talk about things we want to talk about. But if you call, we are here live. And all you got to do is pick up the phone, down 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. And anything financial or comments on the passing scene, I don't think many people understand the things that a CFP does. We're way, way more than just an investment or what insurance policy do I need, anything like that. There are an awful lot of topics, and I've got a few of them. I keep threatening to get to it. I haven't done it yet because other things have come up that are perhaps more timely, but we'll try to get to some of that today, too. Overall, it's been kind of a comfortable, unexciting period in the market.
Yeah, last week it was the Dow that was flat. This week it was the S&P,
mm-hmm.
and the other two indexes gained marginal amounts, the 6/10 on the Dow and 2/10 on the NASDAQ. So pretty much a flat week, low volumes. I take that as a good sign because there was a lot of political turmoil this week, as everybody knows. And the market didn't plunge, which is always an option in these crazy times we live in.
Did you hear that whopping thud on Thursday morning?
Are you talking about the biggest non-event that will be talked about?
Hundreds of pages of nothingness dropped on everyone's desk from everywhere.
My God. I mean, I can't even turn on the news. It's so irritating. But
buy stock in Netflix. Everybody's turning off the news and streaming.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Mueller report, obviously, and it came out on Thursday. It's going to be the most talked about thing of 2019, and it is the biggest heap of nothing I probably have ever seen. I'm sure the political implications will be around until my youngest gets out of college. I'll give you a quick rundown. Basically, Trump didn't conspire with Russia during the 2016 election. However, during the two-year witch hunt that looked into whether or not he did conspire with Russia, he became extremely annoyed with the process of looking into what he didn't do and said some dumb stuff, which Trump is known to do. And so the Democrats now want to impeach Trump for saying dumb stuff, which they didn't really need to wait for the Mueller report to come out to do because he does it all the time. And the impeachment, should it happen, amounts to nothing. But it's going to annoy the public enough to get Trump reelected in 2020.
Here come the thought police.
Yeah. So that's the rundown. I mean, I don't even want to talk about
that's
it
anymore. That's all it's worth now.
It's so annoying.
Subject over.
So besides the political news, it was a pretty strong week for economic data. The biggest number came out was retail sales, which really crushed expectations. If you listen to the show, you may remember back in, I think it was February, when the December numbers for retail sales were released, mm-hmm. because of the government shutdown. Usually they come out the month after. But somehow the government found that retail sales actually shrunk in December, which didn't make any sense because it was, by all accounts, the busiest holiday season ever. And they even said online sales went down. Well, the biggest online retailer said it was the best holiday season they'd ever had. That would be Amazon. So it just didn't make any sense. Well, this month they magically increased by 1.6% versus an expected increase of 1%. Now, to put that in perspective, 1.6% is a really good year of increases in retail sales. And this just happened last month. So how do retail sales magically increased by 1.6% during a random March? Well, the answer is they don't. It's just something went wrong in the data and it's an overcorrection. That's my take on it. Figures lie and liars figure. So the really nice thing about that, too, was there was a big rebound in cars, which has been going on for a few months now, and automobile sales were really lagging. So seeing a turnaround in those numbers is a very positive sign for the economy going forward. people don't buy cars when we're on the brink of a recession, or they're worried about their jobs, or if anything's wrong, that type of big ticket purchase just won't happen.
Improving interest rates didn't hurt anything either.
That also helped, although on a car payment, 1% is not nearly what it is on a house payment.
But did you see what happened to mortgage applications?
I did, but housing starts dropped, but mortgage applications have been rising.
Purchase mortgage applications were the highest in 9 years.
Yeah, I was about to get to the negative data about housing starts. They just hit a two-year low. It's strange, though, considering that the demand for new houses is actually quite high right now. And I think it's just a misjudgment by the builders about to build a new house is not as simple as they just go out and build it. They have to acquire land, they have to put in infrastructure, and they have to develop a community. And so sometimes when demand overshoots what is available, and then it's not an easy one-month fix to
just
get it back.
In California, it can take years.
Yeah, that's true. Well, even in Florida, it can too, mm-hmm. if there's wetlands or permitting issues. That happens all the time. So I wouldn't get too concerned about the housing starts number. I would look more at the demand side than the actual building side. So the other strong number we saw this week was the trade deficit, which unexpectedly dropped by $6.3 billion compared to the same month last year. It was supposed to come in at $53.4 billion, but instead came in at $49.4. So I'm thinking that that's what happens when you make more stuff in your home country instead of importing it from China, which we're not doing as much of right now because of the tariffs. So we'll see if we get the China deal done, we'll see which way that number goes.
Includes energy, too.
Yes, that is correct. So all in all, it was a short trading week. We didn't have the market open on Friday, so not bad. I will take a flat week when you have the type of political turmoil that we saw during the week.
Yeah, me too. It was a little boring in the way that I wouldn't mind having boring go on for some time. All of the indices are sneaking up toward their recent highs that came in September, October last mm-hmm. year. The official lengthening of the bull market that we've been in since 2009 will happen when the S&P 500 gets to its old level, and it's really getting close now.
Yeah. In fact, several of our accounts are above where they were in mm-hmm. September, despite the market not being back. So it really depends heavily on your asset mix right now. If you're heavy energy and oil, you may very well be above where you were in September.
Yeah, another quick word on the retail front. The online sales now are bigger than the in-store sales. So think what would happen if automobiles were sold online. Oh, wait. Carvana? Tesla?
My wife and I purchased our last two used vehicles online. So
even that's happening.
Yeah, it really is. It's the only way to go now. It just makes it so much easier than driving around town with two kids to look at different car lots, not knowing what their inventory looks like. And dealing with salesmen.
And you know what the funny thing about the online car sales is, in the old days when I was young buying cars, in order to get what you wanted on a car, you had to order it because mm-hmm. we wanted power windows and power door locks.
Now for several $100, they'll just ship it in from wherever it is across the country.
And they all have the same approximate equipment on them. You've got to look around a little bit more to find one with the exact color or whatever. As you said, they just haul it in for you.
The other nice thing is that the internet has made pricing so much more transparent, so yep. you know what that car is worth before you even go set foot in the dealership.
That is a good thing, and that goes for new and used, mm-hmm. too. The places like Carfax, which isn't always perfect, at least they're getting some competition now, because we've had some bad luck with Carfax not picking up some things in time, but other than that, it's good. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with a trivia question. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And lines are open, 904-222-TALK. It's 222-8255. Trivia question this week brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888. And the trivia question today is Adam's.
Yeah, so I would like to know what percentage of workers make minimum wage. Out of all people working, what percent make minimum wage?
Okay. less than 50.
Yes. That, okay. All right. You narrowed it down.
I did. I like to give everybody something to shoot at. All right. Cover a couple headlines. Got some doozies for this week. This morning in MarketWatch, opinion, stocks are calm and volume has dried up. Is this the calm before the storm? So, as I am wont to do, I went out to the statistics and looked around. For the 14 trading days we've had in April versus the first 14 trading days in April of 2018, volume is actually down.
Okay.
0.6%.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. But stocks are up 8.8%. Which for a 12-month period is just normal.
Mm-hmm.
So does all of this frighten anyone out there? Are we about to collapse? Don't see it myself. So yeah, volume has dried up to 36 billion shares in 14 days or some such number. Oh, well, enough of that one. Remember Robert Shiller? And I've brought him up so many times in the last few weeks. The guy that had a 70% chance of recession this year, and then it went down to 50%. And now he's got a new one from Tuesday. Trump re-election will boost stocks, delay the recession. Well,
great.
What an about face that is, huh? This guy makes me dizzy. He turns around so fast, and he loves apparently seeing his name in print because he says something new every week, and it's diametrically opposed to what he's been saying. So I'm with him now. Next time we'll see, won't we? Wednesday, another nail in the 401k coffin. Bank on Yourself again, another one of my favorite websites. The Herbert Whitehouse, she says, was one of the first proponents of the 401k 35 years ago when he was a human resources executive at Johnson & Johnson. Today, the 65-year-old Whitehouse says, that's not the White House, it's Whitehouse, that's his name, says he will have to work into his mid-70s if he wants to maintain his standard of living after his own 401k took a hit in 2008. So, again, I hit the statistics. If he had $100,000 in the S&P 500 before the Great Recession and didn't do anything, including make contributions, no sells, no buys, left it sit, he would have $235,157 today for an annual compounded return of 7.39% plus dividends. So the 401k is dying because of 2008? Really?
My 401k did pretty well after 2008.
Yeah, real well. Okay. Thursday. This is the last one. $5 bill proves the economy is about to collapse. This is Banyan Hill, which is, again, on my list of sites that I always tell you, if you see it, just ignore it. Don't bother to go there. I'll make fun of it for you. You can save a lot of time. I remember distinctly 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years ago, I've had a $5 bill in my wallet all of that time, and the economy is pretty good. So what is it about this $5 bill that signals that the economy is going to collapse? That I haven't spent my $5 yet? Is that it? No, no. You can't make this stuff up.
There's no answer in the article? You're going to just leave us hanging?
Oh, I wouldn't go there. It's Banyan Hill.
Oh, okay.
I took my own advice on that one. All right. You wanted to say something of vital importance, I trust? Or at least something fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, today is 420.
It is.
For those of you not in the cannabis counterculture, that is a day that is notorious and with consuming marijuana.
Now, let your father interject this. Mm-hmm. Do you know why it's 420?
I do, actually. So I found the story. I don't know. I can't verify its validity.
Which story do you have? And I'll at least agree with you or not.
So it's according to, I believe this was in Wikipedia. So the roots of the term
are traced
back to a San Rafael, California high school in the 1970s, over the years, April 20th grew into the grew out of these four high school kids that used to meet up, and that was their term. And it really didn't signify anything, except it was around the time that they would meet up after high school.
The time from school to where they met made it about 420.
Exactly. Yep. So it's really a very loose. I thought it was a police code for a marijuana arrest or something like that.
Or
but
the
no.
first day we celebrated such things was April 20th some year.
Right.
Which brings me to Earth Day. Happy Earth Day, all you leftover hippies out there. I was at the first one in Madison, one of the great organizing spots for it. And I've celebrated ever since by doing absolutely nothing.
So the 420 has grown in size and scope across the United States, and especially recently with the rash of legalization in various states. And so it's partly a holiday, and it's partly activism. So a lot of people get together and in the morning, and they will protest or do whatever to get legalization for marijuana, but then by the afternoon that usually dies down because they're all too high to protest or do much of anything else. So so the marijuana industry in America is still pretty much in its infancy, as it's technically still illegal at the federal level. Now, we were talking about this in the break, why it's still illegal at the federal level. Just because it is. I mean, there's no good reason for it. It should be a state issue. They need to just make it legal at the federal level, and then if states want to ban it, that's fine. It should really be up to the voting population of that state. That's my opinion. But
well, I don't like laws remaining on the books that will not be enforced.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, because then it makes it very hard to operate. When you're operating a legitimate business and technically your business is illegal, it could be shut down at any time, and therefore it's really hard for investors to get behind, because obviously they could lose all of their money if the feds decided, oh, we're going to enforce that and shut you down and confiscate everything.
In my early years in manufacturing, dealing with Teamsters Union people, there was an old saying, don't enforce the rule for one person and you have no rules anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And that's the same thing. The Fed is looking the other way for all these states that have legalized marijuana. They have to do something, either enforce it or get rid of the law.
There are actually a lot of states where I was surprised by these numbers. There are currently 10 states where marijuana is legal for recreational use. Mm-hmm. There are an additional 23 states, including Florida, where marijuana is legal for medicinal use but not recreational. And there are only 15 states left in the country where marijuana is still fully illegal, and the rest have seen it at the very least decriminalized.
I think the country has spoken.
Yeah.
And the Beltway people have not listened.
No, as usual.
Yeah.
So marijuana has two main extracts, which are THC and CBD. THC is the extract that causes the feeling of being quote-unquote high. CBD does not cause that feeling, but it still has the health benefits of the THC, and therefore the CBD has grown in popularity in recent months. Oh, I just lost my page.
It's everywhere nowadays.
There we go. Okay.
Including on my thumbs.
Yeah, so it has a variety of uses, from pain relief. That's the most common one. Most of the conditions are things like headaches, cancer, glaucoma. Medical marijuana is sold in stores called dispensaries and is only available with a marijuana card prescribed by a doctor. Other uses for medical marijuana include muscle spasms, nausea, and weight loss caused by disease. Medical marijuana can be smoked, vaporized, eaten, or taken as a liquid extract, and that is the THC version. But the CBD version, which comes in oils and things and creams and things like that, causes no feelings of getting high, and it's even being sold now in, I believe, in Walgreens. So it's really legitimate product at this point.
Yeah. Well, just with my little problem, which I've talked about on air before and got some response from people that have the same problems, it has allowed me to get off taking a leave, and I didn't like taking a leave. I don't like taking any painkillers unless I absolutely have to. So this stuff is real light, and a little oil goes on the thumbs, and it is not perfect. I would never say it is. It's got pretty bad arthritis in there, but it keeps me comfortable enough and usable enough where I didn't have any strength in my thumbs until I started using this stuff.
Yeah, so it's really mainstream at this point. And I want to get into a little bit more of the business side of things, but we're up on a break, so I will do that when we return.
Okay, and yeah, there's, from an investor standpoint, Adam's got some news too, and something that I think we'll all follow here and there. Because let's face it, it's coming, like it or not. I'm not going to make any arguments pro or con, because who cares about what I think? What's happening is very important out there. And anything that's growing that quickly, and I use that growing term loosely, you might want to, as an investor, take a look. Now, there'll be socially conscious people out there who would say, no, I would never invest in something like that.
And that's fine.
That's just fine. We always ask our clients, do you have anything you don't want us to invest in for you? And if they say yes, this might be one of them, fine. We just don't do it. But the other people, yeah. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the Vanley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanley.
And I'm Adam Vanley.
And the trivia questions still out there, brought to you by First Coast Alarm. What percentage of workers in America make the federal minimum wage? How close do you want? Within a couple tenths?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. So it's I already said it's under 50.
Yep.
I'll tell you this. It's way under 50. See, getting closer and closer all the time, aren't we? I want to make one comment on the numbers, the economic numbers that we did not talk about. The first-time unemployment claims that were announced Thursday morning went down again to 192,000, and it was mid-September of 1969 the last time that number was that low. That pesky recession just doesn't seem to be coming around very fast.
And in fact, the four-week moving average, which is widely tracked, yep, in that, with that number, is in danger of dropping below 200,000 for the first time in forever.
Right, yeah, exactly. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
What's up today?
I'd like to get your advice.
Okay.
I have a variable annuity with Vanguard that's done very well, but I started losing some, and I, about 3 months ago, put it all in a money market.
Okay.
Am I safe enough to get back in the market?
How old are you?
84.
What's the purpose of this money?
For my kids.
All right. So preservation is more important than growth or income at this point.
Correct.
How old are your kids?
50s.
Okay. So the real situation here is that your age is far less important than your kids' age.
Correct.
Because they're going to inherit the product itself.
Right.
All right. There will be some tax implications of that. Because is it in an IRA? Is that annuity held personally?
Personally, not in our IRA.
Okay. Well, the variable annuity does not get a step up in basis.
Which is it's just a joke. It
is a joke. It should get one, but it does not. Which means the difference between the value of that contract and what you paid for it will be taxable to your children in the proportion that they receive. So if they're 50-50, they'll split it. And that will happen upon your death. Now, there is not much you can do about that. You can complain at your congressman, but he won't listen. So what's going to happen is going to happen. If you had the ability to preserve the capital and pass it along tax-free, I would probably say stay in the money market. But since you're really talking about this money belonging eventually to your 50-some-year-olds, if it goes down a little, the tax man will help subsidize that. If it goes up a little, they'll get a taxable increase. I think the risk, because they have more time in the market than you do left, statistically, I think the risk is okay. But what I would do is get a pre-authorized, pre-assigned asset allocation that's very conservative. Mm-hmm. Now, we can do things like that. We've rolled them over to a platform called Jefferson National, which is part of Nationwide, which normally saves someone in your age group a lot of money every year. And I would be happy to look at it for you and talk to you about it if you would like, no obligation, no charge. And then we could talk a little bit more seriously. You have kind of a unique situation. I could make the argument either way, but you're not going to avoid the taxes either way, and I wouldn't want to see it take a big hit. But if you have a very conservative asset allocation, then I think the risk would be well worth going back in to the market on a calculated basis.
I agree. I would go conservative, but yes, you could even buy a target date fund that was targeting your kids' retirement date.
Yeah, so you could do it that way.
If they're 50 and want to retire at 65, you could buy a 35 retirement fund, something like that.
How much money are we talking about inside that annuity?
2.25.
Okay. And do you remember what you paid for it originally?
Yeah. $20,000.
Wow. Nice work.
Very nice. What the heck? Get an asset allocation, invest it, and live the rest of your life and be happy. Yeah. You've been a success.
I agree. I don't think you should keep it in the money market.
No.
I think you'd need to do something with it. However, I agree with what Dad said was accurate. Don't go too risky.
Yeah, you might consider doing something like this too. You can ladder target date funds. Put a third of it in a 2025 fund, a third of it in a 2030 fund, and another third of it in the 2035 fund. And you're going to wind up with a very conservative portfolio, and it's on autopilot. Something like that, assuming they have them.
That means I'd have to get out of this Vanguard annuity.
No, well, because, don't they offer
it? Because they don't offer that.
Oh, really? Huh. No. I would have thought Vanguard would have offered their own target date funds in their VAs. That's weird.
Well, if you want me to look at what it would involve to roll it to the platform that we use, which instead of having a charge on it that's astronomical at your age, they charge $20 a month, period. It's really inexpensive, and it's very flexible. There's something to the tune of 160 mutual funds we can use, including target date. And it's just so flexible that it's worth a look, and I'd be happy to do it for you, as I said, with no obligation. So if you, the kind that gets out and about frequently?
Not really. So much. I really like these Vanguard funds offered, and I've done very well in them, as you can see.
Yeah. I would want to look at what your options were then, and to come up with something. And without getting into that, it's hard to say what would be an appropriate mutual fund or investment at this point.
Yeah, you'd probably want to be in the range of 50-50 stocks and bonds,
or more conservative.
Maybe even more bonds. So yeah, I don't like the money market for the simple reason that you're always undergoing an opportunity cost in a good market. And I look at this market as being nowhere near the end of the run.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic. You look at things like the layoffs, and everything seems to be in place for another smashing year. Nobody knows for sure, and I'm just looking around saying what would make the most sense. And to me, most sense is the market will just kind of march on.
Okay, well, let me think about it. I appreciate your help on it.
Yeah, and if you can scan a page or two and want to email it through our office, and we can look at the investments available, we'll give you an answer on that too.
Okay, great.
Just go to VanWeFinancial.com.
Hey, George,
right.
Did you want
to... Our pleasure. Did you want to take a shot at trivia?
$50 million?
Percentage-wise, that's about 5 over 33, so you're too high. Right?
Too high.
Or 50 over 330. Is that right, Adam? He's checking.
Yeah.
We got it in percentages. We're translating.
That would be a... I didn't do that right. Whoops. My calculator messed up.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's going to be too high, I can tell you.
But in percentage terms, you want to shoot out a percentage number?
That's about 16.
No, I wouldn't have any idea.
That's about 17%.
Okay, yeah, it's less.
30%. 30%.
Okay, the number you came out with translates to 17%, and that's too high also. So that that's you've narrowed the bracket again.
Okay.
So we appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Very quickly, 15%.
Still too high.
Whoa, Joe.
Amazing, isn't it?
Oh, quick comment.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that Washington is Hollywood for ugly people. Have a good day, nice. Gentlemen.
You too.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. All right, 15's too high. We know that. There aren't all that many people that are bothered by it, considering the amount of fuss they go through in D.C. with talking about it.
It actually amazed me when I saw the number.
Yeah, I agree. It shows you the priority system when you get inside the Beltway is a little bit different than the priority system when you get outside of it, especially over here in flyover country. Hey, we really are flyover country. We're right between the White House and Mar-a-Lago. They fly right over us.
It's true.
Never thought of that before. Okay, we've got one more segment after the break. We've got several topics left to cover, and the trivia is still open. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question. What percentage of American workers make only federal minimum wage? And we know 15% is too high. And it's actually quite a bit too high. How many times have you heard it? Got a timeshare you want to sell?
No, thankfully.
Well, yeah, that's the answer everyone would really like to have. But Lord knows there's a lot of people out there who don't. Well, I want to bring something to your attention. A group of Fort Lauderdale-based companies has been accused of encouraging people to exit their timeshare units, only that series of companies just filed Chapter 11 reorganization. Isn't that interesting? It seems that they were making promises they could not keep. Shocking, is it not? Be careful who you're dealing with, people. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, sir.
What's happening?
Okay, I'd like to take a guess at your trivia question.
Great, shoot.
About 8%.
Still too high.
Good grief.
It shows you how truly unimportant this major topic is, doesn't it?
Well, if I would have called in last week and the week before, I would have won both times. I did not.
Timing's everything, my friend.
Lose, you lose. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call. We'll have another one next week.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. David, good morning.
Good morning. How about a 3.4%?
Ooh, you're really close.
You're narrowing in on it, but
you're a little high.
Still too high.
I'm loving this more and more because it shows you how ludicrous this whole thing is. But we appreciate the call.
The minimum wage was never for the benefit of the worker. It's always political.
That's exactly right, and it should just be thrown away and never, ever talked about again. So we agree on that.
It does more damage in the working world. It eliminates service jobs.
Well, and the states are passing it. Yeah, we're only talking federal here. The states are raising them up. You've seen it happen everywhere from Seattle east.
Yep.
And people lose their jobs. They just don't get it. Like, you can't talk to most people. They won't listen. But anyway, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Many long years ago, I had to raise the prices where I was working, and the prices went up percentage-wise more than what the raise was that they got. This was a huge raise back in the late 70s.
Yeah, well, they used to say when Big Mac flippers make $15 an hour, they still won't be able to afford the Big Mac.
And well, the
price would be so high.
It just happened to be at McDonald's I was working at, and all of the prices went up more in the percentage-wise of the raise that everybody got.
So when will they ever learn, right? And the answer is never.
There are many places McDonald's.
And they don't win. Anyway, have a great day.
Thanks so much, David. We appreciate the call.
The really ironic thing is that in many locations, McDonald's pays way more than minimum wage because they can't find workers at minimum wage.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's happening?
Hey, I just want to take a stab at your trivia question there.
Sure.
Did you hear the last guess?
No.
The last guess was 3.4%, and it was too high.
I know. It's 2.3%.
Well, you are within the margin of error.
You are
within 2.1%, but you're close enough. So
yep.
Good job.
All right, if you'll hang on, we'll have Alan get your address, and we'll send you a little something from Ken Bales.
Great. I appreciate that.
We appreciate it, too.
Thanks
call back
call.
Anytime. Thank you. 2.1% of workers make federal minimum wage, and it is harangued and harassed.
I was really shocked, and that number has gone down. So that was the point of the article I got that from, was that that number has gone down under the Trump administration to a recent low. But it didn't drop that far. So all this talk in Washington, I mean, you hear it all the time. We need to pay people more. And they're talking about 2% of the population.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, now a lot of those people would probably make less if the states hadn't raised.
And that is true. Salary. But even then, if you lumped all of those people in, I bet that number still wouldn't even move the needle. I mean, it's still a very small percentage of the population that is, a lot of them are either their first jobs or high school kids or people who dropped out of high school or people who are very early in their career. And eventually, you know, if they do a good job for a year, I bet they're making way more than minimum wage.
I would have to agree with that 100%. Back on the note of these timeshare places, the timeshare companies charge anywhere from hundreds to thousands up front to get the job done and tell you that if they don't get the thing sold, they'll give you your money back.
Except when they're bankrupt, they can't.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to finish my marijuana segment, so I just wanted to wrap that up and say that the point of that whole thing is that marijuana is now a serious industry in the U.S., and there's some major money behind it. There are really amazing retail operations, mostly out west, and also growing operations. Again, a lot of it's out west.
You mean getting bigger or
yes,
or
both,
growing
both of that. But we're talking millions and millions of dollars that are flowing into this industry. So, of course, that starts to attract investors and like you and me. And how do you get into it? Well, there are now two publicly traded ETFs. The first has been out for a while. It trades under MJ. It's offered by a company called Sierra Funds.
Mary Jane.
It has grown to more than $1 billion in assets. The other, which was just released on Friday, trades under the ticker YOLO, which is it's offered by Advisor Shares, and it is the largest holding is Aurora Cannabis, you might have heard of, followed by GW Pharmaceuticals and Canopy Growth. That's another name that's been in the news. Other companies include Cronos and Tilray, both of which have been in the news as well. And the ETFs are a great way to diversify in the industry instead of buying one of those stocks, because these stocks are extremely risky. So be careful. If you want to get in, I think that MJ or YOLO would be a good way to do it. And we're going to be looking at those. We haven't put any money into them yet, but it is something that we're tracking.
I would do it the second the Fed repeals the...
Yeah, and that's the real danger, like I mentioned. If the Fed can come in and shut down a business any day, that makes me too scared to put my principal in it.
Mm-hmm. And I really thought there might be some crackdown when Trump got elected, but apparently there are...
So unpopular. I think he knows that. It's a political landmine. I don't see it happening, but
priorities, like getting the economy going, I'd rather see time spent on things that are actually going to help us, shall we say?
Well, and this really actually is helping us, because it is a new growing segment of the economy. So
absolutely,
shutting it down would have the counter effect.
More
that
people
he
working.
Desires.
All right, what really happened in the Tax Act of 2017? Well, the numbers are starting to come in. We'll know a lot more as time goes by. A lot of us haven't filed yet for our 2018 taxes because we get extensions, but now 435 districts all got a tax cut, and the average American household paid about $1,400 less. The average couple, married couple with two children, saw their tax bills fall by an average of $2,914. That's the big one, and that is not to say that there aren't many exceptions to the rule. It is amazing how many ways individuals can find out that they did not get a very good deal here. The best way to find that out is look at your return address, and if it says New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, you probably didn't get a very good deal out of it.
But we saw one here in Florida this week.
And I'm still inquiring that one because it does not make sense to me, so I'm going to put that off until I find out for sure what it was. I just made an inquiry to the CPAs this morning, but I want to know why people think they got their taxes raised or it didn't affect them when it's the number is about 90% of people that were positively affected. And it tells me one thing that I've always known and just keeps reaffirming itself. Republicans could not sell an umbrella at the airport in Spokane, Washington. They just don't know how to tell people what's actually going on.
It is astounding to me that people got about $200 more per paycheck this year per month, and then also paid less in taxes, but are upset because they didn't get as big of a refund.
It's a national disgrace how little people know, and this is being talked about in Financial Literacy Month. I'm speaking of financial literacy. How low will the S&P 500 go? Buffett and Shiller know. This is an article that's back from January. If we only had that right formula to know, well, apparently these two guys do. But the problem was, when Warren Buffett was interviewed about this, he said, it'll go down 50% because it does it once in a while. They asked him when. He said, how would I know? Same thing happened with Harry Markowitz this past week in an interview. Yeah, market's going to go down. When? How would I know? You can't play that game. And Warren Buffett's advice to everybody was buy good stuff and hold it, and you'll get rich in the market. Just like that. All right, well, we got to go. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.